Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Andrew Colmus, and he is a relatively new person at the NRCS. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Morning. How are we doing today?
Good. Well, Andrew, you are a soil conservationist, and we're going to talk about what it is you do. But before that, I want to find out more about you. Kind of where did you grow up, and, you know, how did you get to this stage?
All right. I guess I grew up on a farm in northwest Iowa, up by Paulina, Iowa. Parents farm corn, soybeans, a little bit of alfalfa. My dad farrows to finish. He's one of the few that's still in the world that still do that. And then we grew up some sheep also.
Okay. So lots of agricultural-related experiences. And did you belong to 4-H, FFA, anything related to agriculture?
I was in 4-H and FFA both. Was real active in my FFA chapter. Did a lot of different contests and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. And what were some of your projects related to in either one of those? Did you have hogs? What were some of the things you had?
I guess I mainly focused on the sheep aspect of it, and then some of the contests we did was like land judging, and then meats judging. So mm-hmm. They're kind of our two main contests we did.
Okay.
So.
And when you finished at Paulina, what was your next step?
I went to South Dakota State. I graduated with an agronomy degree from there, and then came to beautiful Cass County. So.
Little bit different than Northwest Iowa, but still, of course, very ag-related. What are some of the differences that you compare to Northwest Iowa and Southwest Iowa?
I'd say the biggest thing is probably the terrain. I mean, up there, it's pretty flat, and you know, you don't really have to worry about erosion, but down here, it's anything but flat. So.
Yes. And soil types? Are there varied soil types between the two areas?
I guess up there, everything's pretty well black and fertile, and down here, you can get into some stuff that, you know, it's not quite as good, and some of those rolling hills, they get, you know, that erosion just takes so much out of them, so.
Well, I think that makes your job maybe more interesting, maybe more difficult, certainly lots more to do. Talk about, what does a soil conservationist do?
I guess, you know, the primary thing is we're mainly just here for the producers, kind of, you know, whatever they really need from us, you know, we try and provide for them. You know, some of the major things we do is, you know, our technical planning, you know, and then also the helping them to lay out and design their terrace systems and that kind of stuff. So I'm really just kind of here for whatever they need us to do for them.
Are terraces a major goal to kind of get all of those put in wherever they need to be? I know there are lots of terraces. Are you still adding more?
We're still adding lots more. I guess we have about a 4-year backlog on producers that are wanting financial assistance doing them. But terraces are just one of the aspects that we try and promote from the office, you know, along with no-till farming, you know, trying to keep that dirt where it's at. And then also one of the new things is, you know, cover crops, you know, just helping to increase the soil biology and just giving another thing out there growing for more of the year.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I've been noticing that there are more conferences, more information out there on cover crops. I think you sort of said it, but what's the purpose of a cover crop?
So cover crops, they really serve a multitude of purposes. You know, one of the main ones that producers are looking at right now is slowing down that erosion. You know, even rye that's only a couple inches tall is going to have roots to go, you know, 3-4 inches deep. It's just really going to hold that soil. And it's also, you know, something to break up that raindrop as it comes down. You know, some of the other cover crops, you know, like radishes, they can get into a big tiller that's really going to break up some compaction for guys. So, and then another major aspect that they do is they help clean up any residual nutrients that are still in the soil. So, you know, if we had to put on a little extra nitrogen following that corn crop, that rye is going to be there to help clean that up. So that way it's not getting any drinking water or anything. So, you know, just trying to help keep the environment safe, you know.
Okay. Now, you mentioned rye, and that's what I'm familiar with. But the other one you said was radishes?
Yes.
Are they radishes we would eat?
You can eat them. Right. I've actually had them. They're really actually not too bad. they don't get quite as hot as like a normal garden radish, but they still have pretty decent, you know, pretty good crunch to them. So they're not too bad, actually.
All right. Other cover crops, or are those the main two here in Southwest Iowa?
Those are the main ones, but, you know, oats is always, you know, it's pretty popular. So any of your small grains, like wheat and that kind of stuff, is pretty popular also.
Okay. And so do those get tilled into the soil in the spring, or do you just plant through them?
Like an oats is going to die. Your radishes are going to die over the winter, so you don't have to worry about those. As far as rye, we like to see producers just go in and spray them to kill them, and then that way it's just an extra. Those roots are still going to be there to hold that soil, and we're not disturbing anything. A lot of studies have shown that it doesn't really affect yield too much just to go in and plant right into them. So.
Okay. And do they add much nutritive value to the soil, or is it mostly the holding power?
They're going to help increase like organic matter. Depending on how big they get, you can get some pretty significant gains over time by using cover crops. They're going to hold on to those nutrients, you know, hopefully throughout the year until the plant needs them. Then they'll hopefully be available. So,
lots of jobs for those little plants to do, Andrew. But it's interesting that, you know, more and more that's something that is being talked about and hopefully practiced.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
When you talk about technical help, is there also financial help?
There is. We have various programs that can do a lot of things. The state of Iowa has the Iowa Financial Incentive Program, which is our state cost share, as it's more commonly known as. Build a lot of terraces with that. Then there's also some federal programs, such as EQIP, that's a lot like state cost share. And then we have a few other ones that are a little bit different. But
now, do you get into it all planting trees and that sort of thing for wind protection?
There is certain funds set up in our state cost share that is specifically for planting windbreaks and that kind of thing. So if anyone's interested in that, we have money available for it that we never seem to use at all. So if you want, you know, a new windbreak or you want to work on what you have, there's always funds here for it. So.
Well, the way the weather changed here just now, it might be a good thing to be talking about planting trees because the wind is really blowing. Another area that I wondered about is I've heard about planting along the streams and the rivers and so on to keep the banks from, keeping the banks from going in. What about, is that a special kind of program or something special you can work with?
We haven't done a lot of that here in Cass County. We can do that. It's something we definitely can do. We just haven't done a lot of it here in Cass County, I guess.
Okay.
So,
and what about, I see people out in the field, they're doing tiling. How does that relate to terraces or other kinds of work in the field?
So part of what they're doing is something that's called pattern tiling, where they're just trying to help eliminate some of that extra water. On a year like this, you know, there's trying to get that water to get the, so it's not waterlogged, you know, for an extended period of time, because that's really detrimental to crop health. But then there's also, with our terraces, we have to put tile up there to get rid of the water that the terrace is catching. So we do have to do a little bit of that. So there's a little bit of both going on here in Cass County. So.
And on the terraces, I notice, you know, depending on how steep they are, that there are various things planted on the angled side of that. What is that?
Generally, we always give the producers a seeding sheet that consists of brome and then like an oats or a rye to just help stabilize that terrace. You know, once you get it pushed up there, we want it to stay there for a long time. So
yeah.
I guess we're always trying to get some brome seeded on them. Sometimes it works better than other times, but that's what we're always shooting for.
Well, always something out there to do, I think, Andrew. Is there anything that soil conservationists do for people in town?
There is urban conservation. We can do rain gardens and that kind of thing. Sometimes it is working with producers to alleviate some of the problems that are coming into town. You know, Dave and I talked about like Troublesome Creek. You know, we did a lot of conservation planning upstream and tried to alleviate the problems before they ever got to town. So, you know, I mean, there is some things that we can do for urban conservation, but, you know, there is a lot. We don't do a lot of it, so I'm not real familiar with it, but there is a lot of other stuff we can do.
Well, and I'm thinking when you say there's such a long backlog of working with terraces and so you have your work cut out for you, but I think if people have questions, they should come and visit with you.
Yeah, we're always here Monday through Friday, so if anyone has any questions, you know, we're always willing to to try and answer them. And if we don't know, we can try and find out for you.
And the location of your office is?
We are on 7th Street here, across from the Mexican restaurant. So
that's very good. Well, we want to thank you very much, Andrew Comas, for visiting with us. And until next time, here's a thought, if I can find it. There are always opinions when you have an open mind.